Well, amen and amen. If you got a Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 is where we're going to be as we're continuing our series entitled How to Be Brave, looking at what it looks like for us to be folks that in light of what's going on in culture, choose to take a brave stand for the Lord and to live for Him. For those of you who may not remember, last week we finished in Daniel chapter 3, walking through, the three Hebrew boys that chose to stand, for the Lord, right? Even if it was going to cost them their life in the furnace. But we saw, as we just sang about, the Lord being a way maker, right? We saw that God made a way out. God made a way when there was no way, and they were delivered from that furnace, right? And we saw the name of God glorified there. Well, in chapter 4, we won't look at it today, but you can read it on your own time. Chapter 4, we see King Nebuchadnezzar have a second dream, right, similar to what he had in Daniel 2, and needed assistance in interpretation of that dream. We see Daniel step in and interpret the dream, but it wasn't a great dream, right? It was the dream was a word from the Lord pronouncing gloom and doom on King Nebuchadnezzar, right? And we see what happened there was because of Nebuchadnezzar's pride, right? He was brought low, right? Which, by the way, I don't know if y'all know this, throw this in for no charge, right? The proverb says this, pride comes before fall. It does. And we saw that happen with King Nebuchadnezzar, right? His pride, right? And him continuing to exalt himself, lift himself up, right? Caused for him to fall, right? He's humbled. And it says that, man, he was eating grass. He was walking and living amongst the cows and, the livestock there in that area, brought low. But then there was a point in time where it says that he looked up and acknowledged the fact that he wasn't God, that he needed Yahweh God, right? And God restored his kingdom to him, right? And at the end of his life, we see him give testimony of Yahweh God not being just the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but also being his God as well, right? We see that his life is forever changed. And so fast forward, right, several years to Daniel chapter 5. We find ourselves in the midst of a story of King Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, King Belshazzar, right? And we see his life, what we're getting ready to look at, and how he didn't necessarily follow, right, the example of King Nebuchadnezzar, and we see the peril that's to come in his life. But before we get there, I want to say this, right? The title of my sermon is this, The Writing's on the Wall. The writing is on the wall. I don't know if you're like me, you've had some of those quote-unquote writing on the wall moments in your life where, you've come to a point where, right, the message, the sirens are going off loud and clear in your life that something has to change or else you're going to find yourself in a mess, right? This idea of saying, okay, the writing's on the wall, something's got to happen, something's got to change or else you're going to find yourself in a mess. I'll go ahead and tell you about a couple of, there have been a couple of instances in my life where that's taken place. But one of those was, I'll take you back to 2017, right? I was a master's student at New Orleans Seminary. I was actually getting ready to transition up here, but it was a pretty busy season. Traveling a lot, getting a chance to do some cool ministry stuff. And I worked as a recruiter, so traveled a lot as well there. That along with the school load, right, I didn't get much sleep. And so because I didn't get much sleep, I consumed a ton of caffeine. I don't know if you, experienced that personally, but man, I consumed a lot. Not just a couple of cups of coffee. I'd go and get me, an iced coffee and then go and get me like a latte, a couple hours later. Then, get me another couple of cups in the afternoon to kind of get me through the day. Right, and I remember there came a point, Brother Dwayne, where I found myself, having these, what I thought, were like heart palpitations. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there, man, all of a sudden my heart's, man, beating fast. I'm thinking, what is going on, man? Hey, I'm still young, man. What's happening? And so I remember stressing out and thinking, man, I got to go, see a cardiologist. I went to my normal doctor because, man, at that point I was a broke seminary student. I didn't have money to go to a cardiologist at first. So I went, to the local, in-care place. And they said, yeah, you got to go see a specialist. So went and saw the specialist. And I'll never forget it, man. They put all the tubes in me, got my blood, all that stuff. I'm sitting there. And then, he gets the test and then he comes back and he's got kind of this smirk on his face. He says, all right, Irvin, man, let me ask you a couple questions. How much sleep are you getting tonight? You getting enough sleep? I'm like, yeah, about 3 hours a night, mumbling, because I'm real ashamed to say how much I'm getting. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me ask you this. How much caffeine are you consuming, per day? Carry the two, carry the four, a lot of caffeine. And he looks at me, he says, you know what? get more sleep, drink less caffeine, drink more water, and exercise, and you'll be all right. And I remember being annoyed, Brother Duane. I said, man, that's the most expensive piece of advice I've gotten in my life. What in the world? But hey, the writing was on the wall, man, with those heart palpitations that I got, that, man, I had to get something changed quick, fast, in a hurry. Something had to change, right? At that point in time, that got my attention to what needed to happen. And here's what we're going to see. Get ready to see in Daniel chapter 5. This king, Belshazzar, we're going to see God get his attention, right, and show, right, the writing on the wall, literally. We'll see it here in the text. We're going to see that he wanted to get his attention, but we're going to see, sadly, that man, King Belshazzar, man, he didn't respond fair to that. And we're going to see at the end of his life, it was a little too late. And so here's the question for us today, man. How is God getting your attention? And number two, man, are you listening? Listen. Daniel chapter 5, starting in verse 1. If you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. Starting in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 9, and then skip over to verse 17 and read the following there. Here's what the word of the Lord says. King Belshazzar made a great feast for the thousand of his lords and drank wine in front of the thousand. Then Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lord, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods, little g, gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. In verse 5, immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall in the king's palace, opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed. He was so scared, man, it scared the color out of him, man. He was scared straight. King's color changed, and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way, and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed and his color changed. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed and his color changed and his lords were perplexed. Skipping over verses 10 through 16, we see the queen, which a lot of scholars say this was actually his mom, come in to save the day. Belshazzar is in panic about what this writing is about, can't find anybody who can translate it. Which, by the way, if you flip back a couple of pages, Daniel chapter 2, we see the same issue, right? Someone trying to, interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Right, they try to bring in all the wise folks of that area based on human wisdom, but none of them could do it. Same issue here, right? Hey, this was a supernatural event, and it took needing God's man. And so the queen, his mom, steps in and says, you know what? Hey, remember there's that guy Daniel. It's been several years. He's probably in retirement ministry, right? But there's that guy Daniel that is able to potentially interpret what the writing on the wall is. And so we see verse 17. We'll pick up there. Here's what it says. Then Daniel answered after being asked and said before the king, let your gifts be to yourself. Hey, keep those gifts you want to give me and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. Verse 18, O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, which, by the way, a lot of historians say actually King Nebuchadnezzar was his grandfather. His father was a guy, we'll call him King Nab, because I'm going to mispronounce his name if I say it all the way through. King Nab was his father, was actually murdered, right? And we'll talk about that more in a second here. But we see here, Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar the kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, And his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly. He was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. Hey, you saw and you remembered when King Nebuchadnezzar was humbled, man, and how he responded and received the Lord. You remember that? And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you, your lords, your wives, your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways you have not honored. Verse 24, then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, and perzin. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and has brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then verse 29, then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and the proclamation was made about him that he'd be the third ruler of the kingdom. Then verse 30, that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The writing is on the wall. Writings on the wall. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. We pray over these next few moments that you'd speak to us. God, as we walk through this rather sobering text, Lord, I pray that you would speak truth to us, Lord. Enlighten us, God, on what it looks like, Lord, to see the writing on the wall, Lord, and choose to respond by drawing close to you. We love you. We thank you. We ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. Amen and amen. This is a rather sobering text, to be honest with you. And within this text, we see a couple of sobering truths, right, that we can take hold of, right, and look to apply to our life, right? Sobering truths from Belshazzar's life, right, that we can look to not follow, but rather choose to see and observe and choose to rather live differently. See a couple of truths here. Number one, the first truth we see here, right? The first sobering truth is this. Drunkenness impairs you from being in touch with reality. Drunkenness impairs you from being in touch with reality. We see the context of Daniel chapter 5 here, man. Belshazzar and his homies, his closest friends, his wives, his concubines, all of them, they're throwing a big old party. Throwing a grand party. There in the kingdom, and many scholars, they debate the reasons why. There's a few different reasons that are suggested. Number one, the party could be based on the coronation of King Belshazzar. His father had just been killed, right, in battle, and so, you know, the party could have been set for him to have a coronation, right, coronation ceremony, to bring him in as the next king. Right, others believe that perhaps the party was thrown to try to invoke the gods that they worship there in Babylon, right? To try and get the gods to come alive, which, by the way, you can try all you want, right? The gods of silver, gold, iron, stone, those things, they're dead. They aren't real. They aren't real. And so perhaps they tried to do that. The third reason, right, could be just to simply celebrate Babylon's supremacy. Up to this point, man, hey, they were the undefeated, right, kingdom of the world, greatest kingdom on earth. We're not sure, you know, exactly why the party was taking place, but we know one thing for certain. King Belshazzar and his friends were inebriated. They were drunk. They were drunk. And we see that their drunkenness, man, severely impairs them, and they end up partaking in some crazy stuff. It says that they took the articles of the Lord, right, that were brought from Jerusalem, and began celebrating with those things. Meaning this, they basically were blaspheming the God of Israel. They were blaspheming Yahweh God. Blaspheming God. And so we see here, right, this sobering reality, right, that drunkenness, it impairs us from being able to be in touch with reality. And here's the truth today, right? King Belshazzar, what we see here, he wasn't just drunk on alcohol, right? He was drunk on more than just alcohol. Listen, we see that he was drunk on pride. Drunk on pride. He thought, man, he was the undefeated king of the world. He was celebrating himself. He was lifting himself up. Said that they were celebrating the gods of Babylon there, right? Exalting himself. He was drunk on pride. And what's even crazier, I didn't even mention this part, what's even crazier is, man, they're doing all this stuff, they're celebrating, while the enemy armies are literally waiting outside the camp, waiting outside the door to come and attack. You talk about the epitome of pride. He's thinking, man, hey, these walls are impenetrable. We're going to do whatever we want. He was drunk on pride, but also, man, he was drunk on false worship. Drunk on false worship. Worshiping all these false gods that were there. Listen, man, hey, drunkenness, it impairs you from seeing reality. King Belshazzar numbed himself from the reality of the enemy armies being outside that wall. And he was impaired from reality. Here's the truth today, Brother Cliff, here's the truth. About 90-95% of people here on earth, man, are drunk on something. Drunk on something. You say, Eric, what do you mean by that, man? I don't see people just walking around inebriated, you know, drunk on alcohol. Yeah, you're right. It may not be alcohol, but it may be drunk on ambition. Maybe you're there. You're drunk on, man, this pursuit of, man, trying to collect all that you can in this life. Nothing wrong with having a little ambition. But when that ambition controls you, you're drunk on it. Man, if that ambition, right, is greater than your love for your family, right, or your love for raising up your kids in the way of the Lord, your love for your spouse, man, you're in a mess. A mess. May not be drunk on alcohol, but you may be drunk on ambition. You may not be drunk with wine, but you may be drunk on pride. Think that, man, hey, you rule your life. You're in control of your life. Look at me. Hey, based on what you say, based on what you post, man, hey, you live a life that exalts yourself. That's what pride is, by the way. Right? It's choosing to exalt yourself over the one, only one that's worthy to be exalted and lifted up. But listen, man, majority of folks on earth are drunk on something. Drunk on something. And the question is, what is that for us? What is that for us? Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us this. Hey, be not drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. For us as children of God, right? The call is, man, to daily go before the Lord and ask for Him to fill us with His Spirit. Meaning this, daily ask for the Lord, man, to take control of our life. His Spirit to take control of our life so we won't get drunk with the stuff of this world. So here's the question today. Hey, what are you drunk on? What are you drunk on? Because listen, hey, being drunk, being inebriated, hey, listen, it impairs you from seeing reality. Hey, being drunk on pride, man, it impairs you from seeing that, man, there's only one who's worthy of our worship, and it's not you. Hey, being drunk on ambition, right, it impairs you. Right from seeing the fact that, hey, man, raising your family in the way of the Lord is more important than your life goals and accomplishments. Choosing to live for Jesus is much more important, man, than what you can accomplish in this life. Listen, what are you choosing to be drunk on? The stuff of this world, right, that you're drunk on, that we're drunk on, will never truly quench the thirst of your soul. So rather, choose to drink from the living water that Jesus provides. Hey, choose to trust in Him as Lord and Savior and follow Him. For children of God today, man, may we remember, man, that we've tasted and seen that God's good. We've tasted of the living water. We've seen the evidence of God's goodness. So we don't have to be drunk with whatever the world is offering us to drink on. But rather, man, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, knowing that the living water is enough for us. Listen, drunkenness impairs you, right, from being able to live in reality. And then secondly, we see this, right? The second sobering truth today is this, that God's patience will one day run out. It will. God's patience will one day run out. In the midst of this party that's happening, man, you could just see this. I mean, it is a full-blown party. All kinds of blasphemous worship, but also, man, immorality taking place, all kind of licentious, all this stuff's taking place in this party here. And then all of a sudden in verse 5, man, it says that the king saw a hand writing on the wall, literally. Because, hey, at the end of the day, man, hey, the patience of God, it had ran out. God had had enough. of Belshazzar is, man, blaspheming of him. The Bible talks about this. Hey, God won't be mocked. Not God will be mocked. His patience will one day run out. You may be saying this, Pastor Urban, that's a little harsh, man. What are you talking about? You know, talking about God's patience running out, man. But he was patient. You're right. He is. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, man, hey, he's, the Lord is patient. Desiring for all to come to know him. For all to come to relationship with him. Psalm 145 tells us that, man, he's a God who is slow to anger, rich in mercy, man. Faithful in love. He is patient with us. But here's the reality. Hey, the patience will one day run out. For those of us in here, man, who know the Lord, we're going to have to give an account of our life one day. Right, and our life will show what we've done for the Lord since we've come to know him. For those of you who don't know Christ, man, whenever you face judgment, the reality is, man, if you don't know him, you're going to have experience eternal separation from him. And so we see here in the text, man, that God's patience will one day run out. We see here God was determined to get Belshazzar's attention. He was. With that writing on the wall, man, he was determined to get his attention. Listen, God is willing to do whatever it takes, right, to get our attention sometimes. But maybe you're like me. Sometimes you like to put God in a little box. You know, he only moves this certain way or he only says this certain thing. Well, that's not true. Man, we see all throughout the scripture, man, that God used some insane ways to get folks' attention. It said he spoke through a donkey in the book of Numbers, get somebody's attention. He spoke through a tornadic winds in the book of Job. Right, to get the attention of the people. Man, he spoke through a giant fish. You know, we learned that it was a whale, you know, but it's actually a giant fish if you look back at things. Either way, big fish, you know, used to get his attention. Jonah's attention. Man, who used whatever means able to get our attention? Which, by the way, talking about God's patience will running out. Right? The fact that he's willing to actually get our attention, man, it shows the fact that he does have patience for people. It's good news. Good news. And so here's the thing. Man, he's looking to get your attention. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? We see, man, he was determined to get Belshazzar's attention, which he did. He shook him up. We see Belshazzar, he goes from one that's, man, celebrating, having a good old time, to one that is scared out of his boots. Man, because God was at work there. See, they was determined to get his attention. But then secondly, we see here this. God's damning message to Belshazzar. Go back to the text here. Daniel, right, shares about how he's willing to interpret the dream. And then verse 25, he gives the message here of what the writing says. It says this. Mene, mene, tekel, and Persian. Right, that phrase mene there. Speech to this fact that Belshazzar's days were numbered. Belshazzar, man, celebrating, having a good time. Daniel steps in and says, hey, I'm sorry to ruin the party, but man, that writing there says that your days are numbered. Matter of fact, man, you're going to be gone tonight. You're going to be gone tonight. Tekel, right, speech to weights. This reality that Belshazzar's life had been weighted. All the stuff that he had done in this life, it had been weighted, and it didn't measure up to God's standard. And so he fell short. Then Persian, right, is that reality that, man, his kingdom was going to be taken away from him. Taken away. It's a message of condemnation. Message of condemnation. And we see that take place there. The reality of today, right, within this message, is to understand how sobering it is. But to understand the reality that, man, God's patience does run out. That's who he is. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. God of long suffering. But, man, he's also a God of justice. Also a God of justice. And so what that means for us today is this. That we choose not to be like Belshazzar and mess around with our life. We choose not to be like Belshazzar and play around with God and the things of the Lord. We choose to respond to his attention and choose to respond Man, by walking with Him. The Bible says this, that there will come a day when we'll have to give account of what we've done in this life, those of us who know Jesus. And so, what we've got to choose to understand is to choose to see that our life matters. What we do for the Lord here matters. The way that you choose to love your spouse matters. The way that you choose to raise your kids, man, it matters. The way that you choose to serve the Lord matters. The way that you choose to live amongst those that are far from God, it matters. Life isn't just one big party. It's not. The way that we choose, man, to live this life in Christ, man, it matters. It matters. And so let's choose to be all in for Him. Let's not mess around with Him. Because the reality is His patience will run out. Patience will run out. Love what Ephesians 5 says, man. The call for us is to make the most of the time. For these days are evil. Make the most of the time. We see at the end of the passage there, King Belshazzar, he gives the gifts to Daniel and essentially sends him on his way. Brother Cameron, you know, I'm implying this here. It's not explicitly stated here, but you almost see a sense of thankfulness right from King Belshazzar for the definition of what was written on the wall, but that really be the extent of it. Unlike King Nebuchadnezzar, who, man, was humbled, and then, man, he looked up, right, and he acknowledged the fact that he needed the Lord, right? King Belshazzar, it's almost like he said, hey, Daniel, man, appreciate you coming. Thanks for giving us that word. You know, he dapped him up, gave him his gifts, and sent him on his way and went back to party. What it seemed like. There was no remorse. There was no sense of wanting to repent and turn away from the way that he lived. And we see at the end of the day, man, his life taken that day and the kingdom taken. Now, I don't know if the kingdom, if the Persians wouldn't have overtaken the kingdom if King Belshazzar would have responded in repentance. I don't know if his life would have been spared. Not sure of that. But we do know that he didn't respond. Didn't respond. And we saw the consequences there. The takeaway for us is to choose to respond to the Lord and His calling in our life. Choose to respond to the message. A couple takeaways and then we'll be done this morning, right? What can we take away from this passage? How can we live different than Belshazzar? And how we choose to treat our life. Number one is this. We can make the choice to daily be filled with the Spirit of God. Daily be filled with the Spirit of God. Like I talked about, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, man. It's a daily choice to go before the Lord and ask for Him to take control of your life. That's what that means. We possess, right? The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. I mean, He dwells with us, those of us who have a relationship with Him. But we've got to ask, man, for Him to take control of our life. So that we won't let other things take control of our life. That's how that works. Man, daily choose to be filled with the Spirit. And then secondly and lastly is this, right? It means this, us choosing to number our days. That second message there saying, hey, your days are numbered. Right, our response ought to be folks that choose to number our days. What does that mean? First off, we get it from the psalmist, Psalm 90, verse 16. But what that means is, hey, choose to make the most of the time that we have here. Choose to live a life, right, as if, live a life for the Lord as if, man, we aren't going to be here tomorrow. Choose to make the most of our time here. And the way you make the most of your time is choosing to be sold out to the Lord. Whatever that looks like in your life. So man, choose to love your family. And give them Jesus with all that you got while you got time left here. Hey, choose, man, to continue to be a witness for Jesus in your workplace with all that you got with the time that you have left here. Hey, choose to be, man, that person, right, that loves their neighbor. That's far from God with all that you've got with the time that you have left. Man, choose to number your days. It's interesting how different, right, our lives become whenever we come to understand that, man, we're not here forever. We're only here for a certain amount of time. The motivation that comes with saying, man, we're going to choose to live this life as if today is the only day we've got left. May we choose to be those people that do that. Number our days. Number our days. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we move into our time of response this morning, as I've said before, the writing's on the wall. Maybe you're in here this morning. The truth of the matter is, right, you're looking at the writing on the wall and you see that, man, you've been getting intoxicated and drunk with stuff that isn't of the Lord. Instead of being filled with the Spirit, man, you're getting drunk with stuff that isn't of God. It may not be alcohol, it may not be drugs, but like I said, it may be pride. It may be security, comfort. And what's happening is, man, it's impairing you from seeing the reality, right? Being drunk on pride, it's impairing you from being able to worship God with your whole heart. Being drunk with comfort, it's impairing you from being that faithful witness to that person in the neighborhood. Maybe your response is to lay those proverbial bottles down at the feet of Jesus and say, you know what, God, hey, I've tasted and seen that you're good. I'm going to choose to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe you're in here and truth of the matter is, and God has been ever patient with you. You may have come to church a couple of times, but you don't have a real relationship with Him. You don't know Him personally. Your response today ought to be to choose to turn from your sins and trust in Him. Man, today is the day, man. You can receive Him as Lord. Maybe you're in here and this life has been, quote unquote, a proverbial game to you, the Christian life, man. Coming, getting a word, singing a few songs, and then going back to the party. That is your life. And maybe your response is to say, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I don't know where you are this morning, but I'm going to pray for us. And listen, as I pray, you respond. You respond to how the Lord may be leading you. Whenever I say, amen, we're going to stand and sing. Song Speak to the Mountains. And listen, as we sing, maybe you need some extra prayer. I'll be down front. Brother Cody is in the back. Brother Rick Bradley, our chairman of deacons, is in the back. Miss Megan, she's in the back. Maybe you need some extra prayer. We'd love to pray with you. Hey, listen, I'll invite you. The altar's open as well. Maybe you need to come for the altar and lay those proverbial bottles down at His feet. Altar's open. Make your chair your altar. But listen, choose to respond as the Lord leads today. Choose to respond. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the truths that come from this sobering passage. Lord, of a man that ignored, God, the signs, Lord, and ignored the writing on the wall, if you will. It cost him. God, I pray for those of us in here today, Lord. I pray as we celebrate your mercy and your love and your grace, Lord, I pray that we'd be mindful too that, man, that patience, that mercy, it runs out. So for those of us in here who don't know you today, Lord, I pray that they choose to respond and enter into a relationship with you. I pray that those in here who are getting drunk with the stuff of this world instead of, man, being filled with your Spirit, I pray that, man, they would decide to lay those bottles down. God, I pray for those of you who are just playing church, that are just playing this Christian life, Lord, to see that, I pray that they'd see that, man, living for you, it matters. How they choose to live for you outside of these walls, it matters. It matters. God, we ask that you continue to have your way, Lord. We love you. Thank you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.